Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show. It's Jessica here, and listen, we have an amazingly good show for you today. We are going to do not one, not two, but three giveaways in this hour. It's Christmas. You all know I have a really big Christmas spirit. And so we're going to do three giveaways. So you're going to want to be listening for that. We also have a VIP guest. We have Wesley Wildman in the house, who is our very own vice president at the American Family Association. And he oversees and builds relationships with their supporters. And Wesley and his wife, they have three kids. And Wesley, I am so honored to have you on the show here today. Thank you for taking the time to join us.
I'm thrilled, and I'm that much more excited to know where I can sign up for these giveaways.
Stay tuned, okay. Right? Stay tuned. You know, I have to tell you, my number one fan, there's a competition between my father-in-law and my husband. But my husband just texted me and said, only five more minutes till the most entertaining hour on radio. He's a very smart man, Wesley. What can I say?
Speaking about giveaways, take a little detour real quick so people can get a little bit the feel of my family and just everyday life. But my wife will sign us up for every possible giveaway. And she has exhausted her email and everywhere. So now we're circling back and using mine. And I'm getting emails. I'm like, what is this about? Anyways, I told her the other day, I was like, you got to stop. I'm getting like my emails bombarded. Now, I will say this, though. Let me give her some credit here, though. She has been kind enough not to use my work email. So she is using my personal. She's using my private Gmail, which is fine. So at least my work email is staying clean, but my Gmail is lost now. But we've won some things along the way.
See, Chelsea sounds like a very smart woman who is working really hard to save y'all money.
That's it.
I mean, I think that's amazing, and she deserves all the credit in the world.
100%. She's a couponer on top of all that. So,
That is amazing. You know, Chelsea, I got to give you a shout out here because there is one time my most proud accomplishment was buying a dress for my daughter for a school event, a formal dress. For 89 cents. And the lady at JCPenney, I know, we're really awesome. High end here. She told me I should frame that receipt. I really should.
You should. Yes, my wife's got plenty of stories like that.
I bet so. Well, we digress here. But Wesley, I'm so thrilled to have you. I would love for you just to start by telling us a little bit about the American Family Association and American Family Radio. There may be people who just listen to this program or who are new to AFR. Tell us about who you are and what you do.
Well, my name is Wesley Wildman. I serve as a vice president here of American Family Association, along with five others on leadership. And then, of course, we have a staff of 130, and we make up many different divisions and departments from what you're listening now, which is our American Family Radio. You got American Family Studios, which does most of all of our filming projects and anything that you see in a video format. We got their American Family News Department, our written print magazine, and the list goes on of what we do here at AFA in 2023 heading into 2024. But it all began in my pawpaw's attic in 1977. So it goes back all the way to 1977. And at that point when it began, it was my pawpaw and two others. Well, first my pawpaw, and then quickly he began to get some help and some volunteer from two others, in which he had a what we call now a press release. At the time was just a letter that he sent out to
from the attic
to people who signed up to get them. And it all began when he had a boycott of national television because of, at that time there was only three channels, and all three channels, well, I believe it was four, and three of the four is what it was. Three of the four had something on there that was just inappropriate for family. So you got a TV at the time, 1977, you got four channels, and three of the four you can't even watch with your children on a Sunday afternoon based on the content that was being presented. So he was pretty upset about that and thought that he would ask his local church that he was pastoring at the time to just cut off the TV for a week. Of course, he didn't shame anybody that was opposed to it, but he said, I'm doing it, and I'm asking you to do it with me. And he did so, and then a news outlet picked up on that and wanted to make fun of him, saying he wouldn't make a difference. So they picked up on the story, and it went national in an attempt to make fun of him. Nonetheless, it went national, and so across the country there was tens of thousands of families that joined into that, and that's where he began growing his donor list, or his activism list, was from that effort right there that was outside of what he originally intended. And so from there, fast forward, and just for sake of time, and you can go to AFA.net, there's a short video that explains more details. It's 4 or 5 minutes. It gives more information. But fast forward from 1977, when my papa asked his congregation to shut off the TV for a week just to basically reset and to prioritize your time and to let the advertisers know that, you know, this we're not happy with this. So fast forward later, 2023, 130 staff, wonderful team. You know that Jeff's your producer. He's just one of the AFR that makes up about 15 or 20 that work on the radio side of what we do. So, and I've worked in every department, but what's funny is out of all the departments that I've worked in from middle school all the way up until I graduated college, the IT department and the written magazine department, which is called The Stand, were the ones that I didn't last very long in, and it wasn't because I didn't want to be there, but I was bad. technology and IT. I did my dues over there, but technology, I know just enough to do my job, and when it comes to writing, I'm not that great, but I do what I can.
Well, and praise the Lord, we have people like Jeff who put us on the air. And if you don't know Jeff, Jeff is the board operator for this show, and he does so much more for AFR. And he is just a voice from heaven in my ear every single Amen. Day at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. And his sister Jade also yep. helps on our show. She's here, and we just have such a wonderful team. And
sure do.
I can tell you, Wesley, there's so many things that I love about that story. I just learned some new things. First of all, I have a pawpaw. Now, he didn't tell people to stop watching TV in 1977. I wish that he had, but I just love that. And you know what's really struck me when you were telling that story, Wesley, is that I think about his advice, your pawpaw's advice in 1977 to turn off your TV for a week and refocus your priorities. I know, scandalous. I mean, that just sounds really controversial. But what great advice for us even today.
Sure.
I mean, that is such wisdom and foresight. And, you know, I think about it because my husband and I, we didn't get cable, which we don't even have cable anymore, but we didn't get cable until I had my fourth baby. So when I had my first one, we had just those three stations that you were talking about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they actually, in the middle of the night when I was up feeding a baby, they would only play MASH on all three stations. Like, that was it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I spent a lot of time praying during that time. I prayed and I sang over my baby. And I think about moms today who can just have the endless power of scrolling and a smartphone.
Right.
And I think how tempting that would be. I'm really grateful, honestly, that I didn't have that as a young mom, because I think that's just some time that we could give back when we're talking about family. But, you know, when we're talking about the resources that AFA and AFR is providing for family today, what do you think are some of the strongest ways that you equip families with resources?
Our American Family Studio department, because now of visual and audio and combining the two through a documentary or through a culture institute, which a culture institute would be picking a particular topic, having an expert on it, and having him share for 45 minutes what he's learned in his time on whatever that topic is. That's one of the first things that comes to mind, but that's because of it being a video version and it's being fairly new department within the last 10 years. However, historically over time, one of the most faithful things that we've done is our print magazine. We've been doing that. Like I said, it dwarfed or it moved from the letter that my papa wrote to, which was Don Wildman, which he wrote, which is now a full print magazine. So We've actually got the original one that he wrote, and we've got one every 5 or 10 years as it has grown or adapted to what we have now is the full printed magazine, which goes out to 155,000 families or households. So that's, and it's just well done. It's endless. Our evergreen's the word I'm looking for. It's evergreen. It's great content. It's very relevant from a biblical worldview on what we're facing today, currently in our current society. And that's one of the best ways that we do. And that's what's awesome about the print magazine. That's something that by going online, you can sign up for free. And we'll send it to you for 6 months, and then we'll just stop sending it to you. And if you want to get it beyond the 6 months, you can make a donation of any size, and then we will continue doing it. But you could go look at it, or you could go look and sign up and get it for free for 6 months with no charge, and be able to determine that's something you are interested in. But it's just a really well done. We have a wonderful staff in our Stand magazine, and they do a wonderful job. And that is a great, great resource to equip families, and it's something that can sit around and you can use throughout the month. We do it is released once per month.
Well, you know, I've done two interviews so far for the Stand. The first time I was in the office there in Mississippi, and it ended up with both me and the woman who was interviewing me. We ended up crying and praying together. Amen. Like, it was so beautiful. Yes. And we just had this like really wonderful exchange. And then the second time actually is for episodes that are coming out for issues that are coming out in the spring. Wonderful. On mental health. And again, just had such a great conversation, and I can't wait to see those articles because your staff has done an amazing job. Well, Wesley, I do also want to talk to you. You mentioned your pawpaw. You've just mentioned your dad. I think it's incredible to see that your pawpaw started this, Don Wildman, in 1977. He passed this ministry on to your dad, and now you and your brother, Walker, are both working in the ministry. And in a culture where we're seeing a crisis of parenting, and specifically mm-hmm. fatherhood, you know, yes. we're seeing an attack on the family, so like nothing we've ever seen before in our lifetime. How have you all remained intact relationally and even working together? And just how have you built such a beautiful legacy of faith?
Well, now my mom would say there's not an option. I'm just kidding. I love my mom. She's awesome. She would say that a lot about people would ask her, how do your kids get along so well? Obviously, we weren't perfect, but we got along exceptionally well, and we were a really close family. We still are, but growing up, we were a very close family. We made time for each other. We prioritized everything, and she would jokingly say sometimes, especially when we were that much younger, you're talking about in our before elementary, they would say, she would say, well, they ain't got an option. But they obviously were wonderful parents. They loved us unconditionally, even through our ups or even through our downs. Obviously, they loved us in our ups, but when we had made mistakes or did things we shouldn't have done, even later on in our teen years and in college, they loved us unconditionally. And so that was one huge anchor to that. But also, too, they never, at one point, I cannot think of one moment or one mistake or thing that I did in my entire life that was wrong in which they condoned or even were passive to or even turned another eye in some way, whether it was a cold shoulder or the silent treatment, or if it was verbally saying this is wrong or whatever the case is. They never condoned sin, but at the same time, they did the perfect balance of loving us unconditionally. And as a result of that, and as a result of them, my dad is a good speaker, and he's also a good teacher, but his actions were most rememberable to me. I can obviously remember some great moments of where we had some good conversations, but what his life that he lived out was more caught than it was taught. And it was a wonderful thing for me to experience growing up, and I want to be able to do that with my family and use that as an example in the work that I do here at AFA.
Well, what else could a dad dream of a son saying about him? We're going to talk more about that when we come back. Don't go away. We're going to talk about Wesley's favorite Christmas traditions, but now we're having our first giveaway. Call at 1-888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. To the first caller, we are giving a book from AFA's own resource store. It's called The Advent Alphabet by Ray Pritchard. Super great resource. So call in. We'll announce the winner when we come back, and we'll continue our conversation with Wesley Wildman. Don't go away.
You're listening to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show with Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Welcome back, friends, to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show. It's Jessica here, and we have a VIP guest. We have a giveaway bonanza today. We have already given away one copy of Advent Alphabet. Now, that is a book you can find in the Resource Center for the American Family Association. And there are lots of other great resources there for you. And during this segment, we're going to do another giveaway. So don't go away, but we have a VIP guest. We have our very own Wesley Wildman today, Vice President for Outreach at AFA, and he has been talking to us about the legacy that his pawpaw and his dad have left. And Wesley, before the break, we were talking about just the crisis of families in our country, and especially of dads leading their families and being a stable force in a family's life. And that is something that is so important to kids. And you've been sharing about your dad's legacy of faith. And I was reading actually an article that you had talked about him in previously. And one of the things that you called out specifically was that he talked to you on an individual basis. You have a brother, you have a sister, but that he really looked at and to find common ground with each of his kids, depending on their likes, their dislikes, their passions. Tell me a little bit more about that, how he individualized his parenting approach and what impact that had on you.
Yeah, absolutely. He never missed an activity or an event that he could be at. I don't remember. Over my 10 years, he may have, or 12 years of playing sports, he may have missed one or two, but I don't even remember, because I know for sure that there were plenty of things that he canceled that I found out later, just not directly from him, just from growing up in the ministry, wondering why didn't he go to that, you know? But realizing that there was a lot of shifting of his schedule work-wise and church-wise in order to make sure that his family was a priority in his life. And sports was a big way that we connected. I was an athlete. My brother was an athlete. So between the two of us, being at the events and making sure that we had, you know, proper training, whichever athletics that we were in at the time, those were things. And then taking us to sporting events. So whether that would be, we're here in Mississippi and we're big Mississippi State fans. I went to Mississippi State. And so going to all the activities when we could, and obviously, you know, praying, he would take us to school every day and praying before we got out at school, praying with us at night. And just, I could go on for hours about how he intentionally invested in our lives and discipled us in our lives through his consistent behavior and consistent action, which is obviously, as I mentioned up for the break, that actions obviously speak very loud. I wouldn't say, you know, words are very, very, very important, and they're a necessity to complement our actions, but your words with the actions that don't complement them is just useless. I could talk about, I'm just very, very thankful, very, very, very thankful for my dad. And so much so, a little bit of a detour here, but so much so that I've been on staff full time for 10 years, and for 10 consecutive years since I've been on staff and had any influence in any meetings that I've ever been in, I've always said, and people know that I believe, and I get a lot of amens and a lot of agreement here, but 80-90% of the problems that we face in our country, while we do attack them on the platforms that God's given us, whether that be entertainment, government, the church, or wherever we need to be, that God's given us to be an influential in those areas, we're going to do those things. However, the root cause to all this, while we're chipping away and just kind of pushing back, is the breakdown of the nuclear family the way God designed it in America. And that's the root to all, to overwhelming majority of the things that we face. While we can go to these other branches and we need to push back and hold the line and do our part, we need to see men taking responsibilities for their families, and moms and wives and mothers taking that responsibility for their role as godly women and treating the way they treat their spouses and husbands and all that. I mean, we need to see a complete revival of the family in America to get back to where we're at. And with that said, we do here at AFA for the last 5 years in the summertime, This is what I was getting at. In the summertime, I can preach there, but in the summertime, we do a program for 4 weeks in the summer where we, on campus here at AFA, we bring in young men, primarily young men without a dad at all or without a father figure of their natural father. So we bring them in and we disciple them. We spend time with them. We teach them all kind of things from changing attire to what are the fruits of the Spirit. And so we have a program called Men of Honor that's that I lead up that is a product of the ministry of AFA each summer. So we're doing the best we can here at AFA to chip away locally and nationally at the breakdown of the family, because we believe here at American Family Association that is the biggest piece to the puzzle to seeing less crime, to seeing families getting back into church, to see people thrive in their communities. And obviously, long term, it's a reflection of the gospel and eternal salvation for the Christian.
Well, is this my cue to amen from the choir?
There you go. That's it.
I really believe that, you know, that when we look at scripture, family is the first institution that God established.
Absolutely.
And for me, looking as a pediatric nurse practitioner, seeing all of these kids facing so many things that I didn't see 20 or 25 years ago, and a lot of them are related to the breakdown of the family and having stressors, especially all kinds of things. There's economic stressors for sure, mm-hmm. but there's also social stressors and stressors. We see half of families going through the trauma that is divorce, and that happens. And you talk a lot about that too, about the legacy of your dad and your pawpaw and emphasizing a strong marriage. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, on both sides. And I need to brag because God's blessed me, but I don't. I also, at the same time, when I'm sharing what I'm about to share, also sometimes feel guilty because I understand that not everyone gets to experience this. I give all credit to God, and I'm thankful for His blessings in my life. But there's multiple generations on both sides, both my family and my wife's family, of faithfulness and marriage and going through difficult times and getting 25, 30, 40 years in to marriage. That's on both sides. And we've had the privilege of seeing that. So it's a multi-generational blessing when it comes to being faithful. Now, what we can't go over, and we don't have time, and I wouldn't even necessarily do just because it's relationships and it's, you know, private information, but you can't even begin to explain in the short time we have that what I just said about these people in our lives that have been married for 30, 40, 50 years, that doesn't mean everything was perfect. I mean,
amen.
Obviously,
amen.
You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't mean that I can't, even if you had a timeline here, you can't even begin mm-hmm. to look at that, okay, well, this happened here and this happened here and this happened there. Obviously, there were difficult times, but those difficult times, they at some point, now they may not have done this at the exact moment, but at some point, whether it was sooner or later, they turned their attention to the scriptures and to their faith and begin to put their trust in the Lord and doing what they could within what they could control that would help bend and help them get on the other side of the difficulty, which then made their marriage and their relationship that much stronger, which is how you get, like Chelsea's grandmother, her and her husband were married for, I don't know the exact number, but I'm at least 50 years. So I mean that type of tradition and that type of influence on our life and just their willingness to, I know we don't have time. You can have me back on another day, but the word commitment, I get real frustrated at because we misuse that in 2023 like crazy. Just the word commitment.
Yeah. You know, gosh, you're right, Wesley. We could talk about this forever because this is what I talk about every day right mm-hmm. here on the Dr. Nurse Mama Show is prescribing hope for healthy Amen. Families, not perfect families, not how to have the perfect family, how to never have problems again. And, you know, I mean, that's not happening. I mean, it's like even in our bodies, we can be generally healthy, but we still have a cold. We get the flu. We that's get a right. stomach bug. But it doesn't mean that you're not healthy. And that's that right. is the lie, I think, that we buy as families. We think if we're not perfect, we're failing somehow.
That's right.
And, you know, I look at my husband and I have both overcome a lot, and me so more than him, and just family generational dysfunction and trauma. And, you know, there's a lot of things I tell my kids. I think, oh my goodness, I wish so much that I hadn't responded like that. I wish you hadn't seen that. Like, I wish you didn't have to see that. But when you do see it, I want you to see that no matter what, your dad and I are going to find our way back to the grace of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We are going
100%.
To, we're going to repent. We're going to apologize. We are going to love Jesus more than we love each other. So you don't have to just trust that we'll love each other enough to make that well. You can trust that we love God enough to be obedient to the vows
Amen.
That we made. And I just tell them that that is something, you know, I hope that we'll continue to get better. Now, my grandparents were married for 67 years.
Oh, my word.
I just lost both of them this year,
oh,
but it
I'm
was
sorry.
Really special. And you know, I'll tell you just as a little side note here again, Walker, you're Wesley. Look,
I
can't even
both.
Get my own kids right. Like, so I'm not going to get you all
no,
right.
But. And if I always tell people at the office, if they get us mistaken, if you're looking for Walker and he did something right, it's probably me. And then if something's not going right, you're probably looking for Walker. So if you get us, I can win either way here.
See, my kids are just nodding their head. They're like, yeah, you call us the wrong name every day, Mom. I do. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. But, you know, when I did lose my grandparents, I was fortunate to be with my grandmother when she was saying goodbye to my grandfather. It was just the three of us in a room. And she told him, she said, "You gave me my first kiss, and now it's my joy to give you your last." It was so precious.
You got to see that? You got to experience that? That's amazing.
I did. It was amazing. And so I prayed with them and sang over them as my papa went to see Jesus. But you know, one of the things that holds families together, Wesley, I'm
yes.
getting it right
there
now.
You go.
One of the things that holds families together, we've been talking about it all month on here on this show, is traditions.
Mm-hmm.
So what is your favorite tradition? Maybe your favorite tradition growing up, your favorite tradition now, maybe it's the same, maybe it's different. What are your favorite traditions, Wesley?
I'm thinking just like, I'll give you two. One very recent as in we do weekly, and then, and that's Sunday lunches. So as a tradition, each Sunday after church, we'll get together for lunch. And so we look forward to that family time for an hour, hour and a half. Now that's something that is very, very consistent, as opposed to, and maybe Christmas, which is once a year. We have our traditions for Christmas, which we can talk to if we have time here in a little bit. But as far as just very frequently, Sunday afternoon lunches is something that we do as a family. And when I say family, I'm talking about my parents, my sister, her husband and their kids, my brother, his wife and their kids, my wife and our kids, which makes up 10 grandchildren, 9 under 8.
That's
so
noisy.
Yes.
I can hear it right
yes.
now. Like
oh,
that
yeah.
is controlled chaos.
That's
right
exactly
there.
Exactly what it is. And so I look forward to that tradition right now. And we have other things, and we go on an annual vacation in the summer. With that same group of family that I just mentioned, we'll also go on an annual family vacation. We'll obviously look forward to that. That's less frequent, but it's still a tradition. It's the same time every year. Sometimes it can change depending on people's schedule, and we've moved it around at times, but by and large, that's consistent. We do birthdays and families and, anything like that that can bring us together. Those are the two, that we do consistently as a family vacation and then every Sunday after church.
I love both of those. I think that's so special. I had shared earlier that my granny, when she had three kids, and one of her kids, she would go pick up their kids. So her grandkids, they were not going to church at the time, but she would always go and pick up her grandkids. And she'd have to kind of make a little haul across town and then pick them up and then go back across town to go to church. And then she always had Sunday dinner at her house. And everybody would come and sit at the table and we would all eat. And it usually was a roast that had been in the oven for like 5 hours, you know, for a long time, but it was so special. And I love those kinds of traditions. What is your favorite Christmas tradition, Wesley?
I just really, really, really enjoy Christmas caroling. I can't say that I've always enjoyed it as much. I know I have not always enjoyed it as much as I do now, but the older I get and now being able to take our children and my nieces and nephews and all of us go, the older I get, the more impactful, the more I'm able to see how impactful it is for the person that's receiving the carols, which I was not always. The younger I was, the more distracted I was with other things that I wanted to do necessarily. I even when I went with my best intention, I may have been thinking about leaving to get somewhere to be with my friends or to leave somewhere to get to a movie or whatever it was, or get to a football game or whatever it was. But the older I've gotten, the more I've been able to slow down and really appreciate or really see the impact that Christian Christmas caroling can have on people who are going through difficult times. And we obviously focus on that. We've got a short window each year to be able to do this with all of our, you know, schedules, but we get together for two, maybe 3 hours, and we'll go eat first, and then we'll go Christmas caroling. Usually, yeah, almost every time, it's one of the two. We're either going to go to a hospice, a local hospice here in town, or we're going to go to the hospital. So we pick either one of the two, and that's where we go. And just really, it's amazing how small of a thing that we may think that is, but how impactful that is for someone who's going through a very difficult time during a time when they're looking around or getting phone calls, or at least remembering what Christmas was really like before they were in the hospital.
Well, I have a story about that when we come back. And congratulations, by the way, to Devin from North Carolina, who was the winner of the Advent Alphabet from the AFA Resource Center. It's time for giveaway number two. The phone number, 1-888-589-8840. That's 1-888-589-8840. This time we have got Jeff and Abby Land's The Way to the Manger, a family Advent devotional. Now, let me tell you, this book is a beautiful keepsake. You are going to want it. You're going to want to go back and listen to the episode where Jeff Land talked about it. We'll announce that winner and talk some more about Christmas caroling and other traditions when we come back. Don't go away.
Podcasts of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Hey, friends, we're back. Welcome back. If you've been listening in, I am so grateful, and you have just had a treat, I think, of a conversation. Just so many heartwarming anecdotes from our VIP guest, Wesley Wildman, who is VP at AFA and VIP on the show today. And if you heard me earlier refer to him as Walker, you are imagining things. I That's never right, yeah. said that. Walker, if you're listening, don't get a big head.
That's right, yeah. Speaking about Walker, I'm on his programs on Wednesdays. It's Wednesdays with Wesley. I'm on there for 20 minutes with the middle segment. And what I'm taking note now while we're talking. What I'm going to do is we're going to take this VIP and we're going to move that over to Walker's program too. So I'm going to be VIP on Walker's program now. That's okay. And it came from you.
I mean, yeah, absolutely, because I'm clearly in charge and have a lot of power.
Right, yeah.
So I will declare it to be so.
There you go. That's funny.
I love it. It is funny. Well, we have been having a giveaway extravaganza. We are doing not one, not two, but three giveaways today, and we already have two winners. We have Devin from North Carolina, who won this beautiful Advent book that is available to you through the AFA Resource Center. Now, one of the things I love about this book is that there's a QR code at the end of every day connecting to a song. And we have been talking about songs and Christmas songs. And before the break, Wesley, you were sharing your love for Christmas caroling. And I told you that I would share a story about that. So the Christmas before last, we had a new music minister, worship minister at our church. And he wanted to get to know the people who were in the church, and especially those people who were shut in, who were homebound, who, you know, couldn't get out to church anymore just because of their age, their health conditions, the weather, you know, whatever it would be. So we created this little list, and he said, okay, come up to the church and we'll, you know, run through a few carols. I mean, this was very low tech. We didn't even have a pitch pipe. Like, we just went and we were just going to sing, right? We just had some words printed on a page. And which I just have to brag for a second. I didn't need, because I was in a Victorian choir in high school.
Go.
So, you know, there's my my glory days. I don't
have
sports.
So your group already has a huge advantage with you being on the team.
Well, you know, I'd like to say so. And my husband has razzed me, has really given me a hard time. And actually, I do need to digress. You've digressed a little bit, Wesley. I supposedly, according to my husband, I owe my listeners an apology, because the other day I was giving a sports analogy and I said,
oh boy.
You go outside and throw a basketball. And he said, honey, you don't throw a basketball. You you shoot it. That's really bad. Like, just don't say that. So I will stay away from the sports analogies and I will brag on my Victorian choral ability.
There you go.
But anyway, so we started to go out. We thought we would go out for an hour. And the first person that we went in and saw, she really wasn't very friendly. Like, she came outside and she kind of leaned up against the open garage and she looked at us and listened to us sing. And then after we sang, she said, don't go away. I'm going to be right back. And I thought, like, this woman is going to get her dog and, like, sick it on us or something. Wow. She came back dragging this little plastic lawn chair. And she sat down and she said, I want to get comfortable. Y'all sing me some more.
Oh, wow.
And it was so, and we would finish a song and she'd say, another one, encore. Another one. I mean, it was so, we ended up being out, Wesley, for like 5 hours.
Oh, my word.
I think that goes back to what you were saying, is that you don't realize the power that something little that you do. I think
simple.
In this age of like Pinterest, where everything has to be like perfect and over the top and, you know, so like extravagant, there is joy and beauty in just going out, having the courage to go to a neighbor's house, ring the doorbell, and like just sing.
Mm, absolutely. Well, and also too, the simplicity of it. And also too, you think about, and I understand there's a time and a place for all the technology we get, and technology in itself is not terrible, but it can be used for good or for bad. However, technology is just at the point of history that we're living in, just makes you think, it makes you feel like everything has to, of any value, has to happen so fast, when really the fact that y'all spent, you know, and intended for an hour, which is a lot for some people's schedule, but ended up being 5 hours, and you realize that a lot of the time is making time is really the first step in ministering in people, is making time and not thinking that we're going to get in there real quick, we'll knock it out 15 minutes and then get out. No, you went in there with an intention to spend time, and then you realized that the Holy Spirit was at work, and you and God made it to where your schedule was able to be there for 5 hours. That's very, very important, as fast paced as society that we live in.
It is just one of my favorite memories. And there were so many magical things, like really, well, really miraculous things. They weren't magical, right? They were God ordained.
Sure.
They were divine. And there was, we started to be out after dark. So we went to one of the former worship pastor's house, and he came out with this basket full of electric candles, like the ones that you would carry in a choir. And he's like, here, take these. So now we've got candles, you know, and we're going. And we ended up going, we knocked on one door, we sang a Christmas carol, and the man started crying, and he said, my great, great, great grandparent wrote that Christmas carol. I mean, that was amazing.
Oh, my word.
I know, isn't that just amazing? And then our last stop was at a nursing home. Now, this was year before last, and the COVID restrictions and institutions like mm-hmm. that were more. And so we couldn't go inside. So we ended up like kind of standing outside on the sidewalk, like really kind of in the bushes, honestly. Like, I mean, it looked like it didn't really look right, but I will never forget these precious people who had their faces pressed up to the window, just smiling.
Amen.
And
Amen.
You know, singing along and just seeing that on their face. Now, all right, Wesley, so I want to ask you a question about this caroling, because my husband can do a lot of things. Singing, he's very gifted in sports, honey, I give you all that. But singing is not his thing. So what do you say to people who are going to go and think, I can't carry a tune in a bucket and you want me to carol? Do you think they should still go?
Just stand in the back and mouth it. Don't sing. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm kidding.
Did you hear that, honey? Did you hear that?
That's right,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And in fact, we're in very similar situations. I'm the least, I don't even have anybody on down the line on either side of mine that had any musician in them that sung, played the instruments or anything like that. So I can't either. However, we usually go with the group, and there's at least one or two in there that can get us started and hold a tune. And so we make it work. In fact, there's from a distance, I'm sure our group does not sound that wonderful, but the spirit,
it's the joy of the Lord.
Yeah. And in fact, you know, just God works through all kind of things, because oftentimes I feel, I can't prove this, but I get the sense that the people that are receiving the worship is the last thing they're thinking about is how, now I'm not saying a good tune can't add an extra blessing in there, but for sure, that's the last thing they're thinking about. So I would encourage you, to answer your question, I'm encouraging our entire audience, or listening audience, to find a way, a small group. It could be 5 people, it could be 15 people, but take an extra effort, especially with your family. We're constantly looking, or should be looking, for creative ways to do ministry with our kids, and this is one wonderful opportunity to take our family, take our kids, take our grandparents or whatever, any of your family members, and spend some time with them Christmas caroling this year. And you can obviously, the closer you get to Christmas, the more these things are at the forefront of your mind. But there's no reason why 2 weeks before Christmas you can't create an opportunity to do this. We actually celebrate our family Christmas together 2, sometimes 3 weeks before Christmas Day, because of our family being so large that my parents have been such a wonderful people of trying to compromise and make everything work. And so we actually do our family Christmas there. That way they're so understanding that when we get to Christmas, my wife's side and her side, there's a lot of us. So we make it work, though. We make it work.
I can understand that. I'm the oldest of 5, and when all of our kids get together, like, you're talking a lot of kids. And we actually get together on what we call, I don't know if you've ever heard of this before, Wesley, but my kids call it Christmas Adam. It's the day before Christmas Eve. Like, they think Adam became before Eve, so they call it Christmas Adam.
I've not heard that. I'm going to actually share that one. I'll pass that one along. That's a good one.
Well, speaking of Christmas and the giving spirit and giving someone the gift of caroling and the joyful noise of the Lord, even if you don't sing, we have been giving away things this whole show. We gave away a book, an Advent book from AFA's Resource Center to Devin from North Carolina. And the winner of the Way to the Manger Family Advent Devotional, if you're looking for a new tradition to start, is Lene from Kentucky. So I'll tell you, Wesley, we've had 4 states in a row in our giveaway. We had Mississippi, we've had Iowa, we've had North Carolina, we've had Kentucky, and it's time for our final giveaway in the show. So let's see if we can get another state in here, huh? And nobody from Texas. I mean, come on, you Texas people. Y'all need to get faster on that phone. It is time for the 3rd giveaway. We are going to, and now, Stephanie, what did I do with the phone number?
Hey, congratulate, while you're looking for it, congratulations to all those that won.
I know, exactly. Isn't that fun? Okay, I've got it. I've got organized chaos here. 1-888-589-8840. That's 1-888-589-8840. This last giveaway that we have is a devotional. And if you haven't started any tradition, starting a tradition of a daily devotional is a great habit to have. Amen. Because if you don't have 5 minutes to spend reading your Bible and praying every day, you definitely have 5 minutes to do other things that can be cut out. This is a devotional called Life-Changing Stories from Butterfly Living, and it's a devotional collection revealing God's faithfulness and his transforming power. And there is a big collection of authors who got together. And the fun thing about this devotional, Life-Changing Stories, is that all of the proceeds of this devotional go to Compassion International. And they go to sponsoring kids in poverty all around the world. Well, Wesley, you wrote this article for AFA talking about some other ways that your family can serve people. We've talked about Christmas caroling, but you've talked about cooking or buying a meal for a family. Tell us about that.
Yes, we've in the past have cooked or bought a meal for a family that in some way I can't remember exactly, but they're between my wife and my mom, they often will either hear about or know someone who is in need during the Christmas season when it comes to not having a family or not having the proper funds to be able to have a celebration on Christmas Day when it comes to having a nice meal and an opportunity for their family to come around and get together. So I put cook because that's something I want to do one day. but I gave an out for those that either A, just get short of time, or B, are not as gifted in the kitchen. But but either cooking or buying a meal, finding someone, and this just goes back to just takes a little bit of time to ask around. And doing that has been something that we've done in the past, and I'd like to do again with my kids and being able to go deliver that. Now, just to kind of speed through some of this, I have had some people give me some pretty good ideas over the last couple of weeks too. Giving your children a portion of money that you've set aside for Christmas, whether it's $100, $200, whatever it is, and say, hey, go shopping for a family that comes to mind that you want to serve, and then having them go out and purchase some things and teaching them to think about other people, teaching them to, have something in front of them that they really want, but are taking the opportunity to give it to someone else because they are, and God has, they're not lacking in anything. So that's another opportunity. And then of course, reading the Christmas story with the family is a very important thing to do. And again, very simple things to do, but we want to encourage you here on American Family Radio and on the Dr. Nurse program. The Dr. Nurse Mom program, we want to encourage you to remember in all the traditions that we do. The traditions are good because they remind us of the birth of Jesus Christ and helps us reset our thinking when it comes to why we do what we do and all the things that we do around Christmas, from the things that we mentioned, from Christmas caroling to serving a family with a meal and reading the Christmas story and all the things that you could possibly do. Just remember that the reason we're doing this is to remind everybody that Jesus was a real person. He came, he was born of a virgin, and we have an opportunity to celebrate that each and every year this time of year.
Well, Wesley, I just want to sign up to be your official choir.
Amen,
amen, and amen. That is so very true. And one of the things that I've loved about talking with you today is that you are a take no excuses kind of guy. If you can't sing, too bad. If you can't cook, too bad. That is going to happen. And I would like to congratulate our last winner. Guess what, Wesley? We have another
Texas
state. No, it's not Texas. Close. I'm telling you, my Texas people are letting me down. It's Arkansas. We have Daylene from Arkansas.
Wonderful.
And I know, that's wonderful. So we had North Carolina, Kentucky, and Arkansas all represented on the program today. Amen. Congratulations to you all. And I'll just end by saying, my favorite Christmas tradition is every morning, Christmas morning, before we even start any of the festivities, my kids wait for my husband to come in and to read the Christmas story to them.
You.
And they say that is their favorite tradition, more than gifts, more than all of the Pinterest hoopla or all of those things. It's simple, it's heartfelt, and that's what's important. Thanks for joining us today, Wesley.
Enjoyed
and
it.
Thanks everybody for listening in. I'll see you tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.